Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, Nation Building Radio. I'm glad to be on with you tonight. My name is Vernon Muhammad. My co-host is on his way. Hopefully he'll be joining us before too late. Kamos Muhammad, he'll be coming in shortly. He had a situation he had to tend to. But on the line, I do have my good sister from way down yonder, Gidget Muhammad. Say hello, Sister Gidget.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Assalamu alaikum, nation building. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon.
Wa alaikum salam, my good sister. That means peace and blessings to all you guests out there who don't know what it means. We are one big happy family, and whether you say peace, whether you say shalom, whether you say hotel, whether you say what's up, or whether you say assalamu alaikum, it's all good, it's all love.
Yes, sir.
Indeed. We got something special planned for you tonight. This is a momentous occasion for me, I must admit. Kind of misty-eyed. This is like a reunion, a homecoming for me. It's been about a little bit more than two years since I've hosted a show on Blog Talk Radio. That's exciting, Sister Gidget.
Yes, it is. Where have you been so long?
I'm feeling all giddy. There's just been, I've been around the world, and I just feel like I've been on a roller coaster ride for 2 years, and it's all good.
Oh, so that means that you have a lot to share with us this evening.
I do. I have a lot to share. There are some big things that are coming up. As you know, the title of this show, even though it says No Romance Without Finance, the theme is we are on the road to October 14th. Now, some of you may be wondering what October 14th is. We'll get into that in a little bit. But there's been a lot going on today. You know, I've been monitoring all the conversations on social networks, Twitter and Facebook, and, you know, everybody's talking about President Obama's speech at the Democratic National Convention. Everybody's talking about what's going on with the Gridiron Gladiators, because today is Sunday night and there's loads of Sunday football going on. People having loads of conversations about everything and anything that we enjoy and have, you know, all every right to have a conversation about. But as much fun as we have in these conversations, there's one conversation, one topic, one subject that is missing, that is vital to our survival, that is really a key piece of us having fun and being happy, successful into the future, and that is finances, economics. I've been listening to Dr. Claude Anderson and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and various other people who are just, you know, keeping the conversation about economics and business and doing for self, all that good stuff in the forefront. And there's some interesting things that are being said about that. The reason I titled this show No Romance Without Finance is number one because, you know, I know that everybody seems to tap into that type of subject. You know, how many of y'all haven't? You know, just peeked into a relationship show dealing with no romance without finance. So let me come clean right now. We're not going to be talking about relationships. If you got courtship questions, I'm sorry. It's going to be good. Hang in there with us. Look at that. Somebody just hung up. That's a doggone shame. I'm watching the switchboard. We got about 10 calls. People who are just hanging in there with us already off the break, and that's a good thing. I also have the chat room open. But one of them numbers disappeared. That's a doggone shame. But it's okay. It's going to be all right because I promise you we're going to touch on just about every aspect of life because it's all really connected. And, of course, without finance, you can't get to the courtship and the relationships and all this other stuff. So let's get that stuff right first. Let's get ourselves in position.
Yes, sir.
And make sure that we're handling what needs to be handled so that when we step up to the plate in these different areas, we know that we're doing it the right way.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. So what I want to do first and foremost is lay out how the show is going to go. This is what I envision. We'll see how smooth this operates. And one thing that amazes me, Sister Gidget, with these shows, when you can do all of the preparation that you want, you can take care of every task that you need to take care of well enough in advance. And for the 2 years that I've been hosting these shows, the closer we get to the time the show airs, the more you feel needs to be done. And the faster you are moving, the faster things are going. I'm amazed at how that never seems to go away.
Well, just go with the flow.
go with the flow.
All right, let it be.
We certainly going to do that because I had no idea that Earth, Wind, and Fire was going to play when I started this show today.
And, you know, that's my Thursday theme song, so I just figured that you have adopted that. But, you know, it's all love. It's all family. It's cool.
I put my theme song up in there. I was like, okay, we can work with this. That was not a bad happening at all. So if that's the way that it's going to go, we're going to be adaptable and flexible, and we're going to roll with the punches. Somewhere along the line, I heard that theme echoed in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, that seems to be right on point with what's needed in this day and time. Got to be flexible.
That's right, because love is written in the stone. That's right.
There you go. So, what is this October 14th piece that we're talking about? October 14th, for those of you who don't know, is the date that we will be celebrating a very, very special event in the history of this country, as a matter of fact, in the history of America. This will be the 17th anniversary of the Million Man March, the largest gathering of people in American history. There were over 1.9 million black men gathered together in one place at one time for one purpose 17 years ago, actually on October 16th. But this year's celebration is going to be held Sunday, October 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina at the Bojangles Coliseum, where the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be delivering an address entitled Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Ending Poverty and Want. That's a big statement right there. But if you think about the fact that we are about a month and a half away from that, that's an interesting road that we're going to be traveling between now and then. We're leading up to the election that comes shortly after that. You want to hear a lot of people in the political arena talking about what they can do and what they promise to do to make a difference in the lives of the citizens of this nation as far as economics and jobs and everything that hinges upon that. But the question that comes up in my mind is, what are we going to do? Are we going to wait for somebody to do things for us? Are we going to wait for somebody to solve the problems that we all see for us? Or are we going to accept the challenge and step up to the plate and do something for ourselves? I think, this is in my humble opinion, I think that it would be a good idea if we gear ourselves up for what's necessary, if we gear ourselves up to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, as they say, if we gear ourselves up to participate in fully in making sure that financially and economically we ourselves individually and we ourselves as a community are actually in a better position in the future, as opposed to waiting to see what's going to happen. You got to be an active participant in this whole process. So the economic blueprint that we're talking about, number one, is what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is going to lay out that he got from his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in the monumental book that was put out called Message to the Black Man. There's a whole section dealing with economic blueprint and program and position and exactly what is the best solution that has been put on the table to improve the economic conditions in life for black people throughout America? So that's monumental. That's big stuff that we have looming on the horizon. And even though we're having conversations about football and weaves and extensions and Gabrielle Douglas and everything else.
Well, you know, Brother Vernon, can I say something right here, if you don't mind? You know, it just seems like to me, you know, and we're celebrating the 17th year of the Million Man March, and, you know, that's 17 years of the Million Man March that we're celebrating. However, the oppression of our people has gone on long past 17 years. And it appears to me that we have had more than enough exposure to politics, you know, they call it politics, but it's politricks. We've had many, 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 many years of exposure to that. It seems like to me this is something that everybody should want to jump on because we already know that politics doesn't work. It doesn't benefit our people. A lot of our people are still poor. We're still undereducated. We still are under medically insured. So it's not working for us. So it seems like everybody should want to get involved in a process and in a plan that is going to benefit our people as a whole.
You know what? You make a good point there. And there's a lot that you said that I agree with. There's one point that I want to, I guess, draw everybody's attention to in what you said, though. When you said politics doesn't work, politrics doesn't work, one of the things that we have to understand about life, you ever heard the term the game of life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, you know, really, that's there's truth to that. You know, life is like a game, and you have to understand the rules, you have to understand the boundaries, and it's important to understand the players in the game. If you take the game of chess, for example, every piece on the board is valuable. Every piece on the board has a purpose. There are some pieces on the board that, you know, the destiny is they're just going to be sacrificed. They're going to be put out there as bait, and they're going to get picked off. Then there are other pieces that are very, very vital and very, very necessary. One thing that other communities really, really do understand is the power and importance of political figures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may look at them as, you know, people who are playing tricks and playing games, and they'll say whatever needs to be said to get what it is that they're aiming for. But really, until we can empower ourselves and get ourselves in position to use them appropriately, to use them the way that they are meant to be used, to get the benefit out of them, we really are cheating ourselves. So that's another aspect of the game that we just have to learn. Not that we have to get into the dirt that politics entails, but when you build your weight up, you know, when you get strong enough, you can actually interface with politicians, and instead of them doing what everybody else wants them to do, we now have something of value to get them to do what we want them to do. And that's why this economic blueprint is so important. You know, if you take for example, take local politics, local, you know, what's going on your street, you need a speed bump on your block, you know, you need something to occur in your school district or whatever the case may be. The people who come out to those community meetings, the people who come out and they get in the face of those politicians and know who the players are and actually have enough to contribute when those politicians are in need, those are the ones who get answers. Those are the ones who get their agendas met. And the reason why the reason why the black community, black people in general, don't get the most out of our elected officials is because we can do a lot of talking, but we can't back our talking up with muscle. That's why businesses, business owners, entrepreneurs have that economic muscle are so vitally needed in our community.
Right. I understand that as well. But, you know, I think even more so than that, Brother Vernon, we have to obtain a black agenda. Because if you recall, had Brother Robert, let's say congratulations to Southwest Regional Student Minister Robert Muhammad on his 25 years of service in the Nation of Islam. And anybody who missed it can go to his page, and you'll hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan lifting him up and giving him praise for his servitude. But I had him on the show last Sunday, and, you know, I've made kind of the same comment that I made just now. And he said to me, he said, what have we asked them for? Because we oftentimes complain about a lack of progress that our politicians make in our community. But he said that we don't get anything because we don't ask for anything. And then we don't support financially, but we want to cry out during a point of injustice. So I'm asking you, how do we begin to get a serious, solid black agenda to the table?
You're asking me, or are you throwing that out there in general?
I'm asking you.
Well. Oh, okay, then. Let me see. I really believe that, you know, everything starts, I don't want to sound cliche in what I'm about to say, and please, you know, for y'all who are listening, don't, you know, look past the cliche of this, okay? There's more to this than just what it sounds like, okay? Everything has to start with knowledge of self. Now, we may all think that we know what that means, and we all, you know, have heard that for years and some of us decades, but understanding who we are and what it is that we actually need, in addition to what we want, it really understanding what it is that's in our own best interest, that's important, and you can't do that. That can't be done adequately thinking as an individual. It can't be done just thinking about you and your household. It really has to be done in the context of community. Okay, community. And I'm not talking about, that's another term that we need to get straight on. I'm not talking about what we refer to as the black community. Because, as I said, I've been listening to Dr. Claude Anderson, and as far as community goes, in many instances, we don't have community. Community is not just people you know, and you live on this side of town in that ward or that district, and they live on the other side of town in another ward in another district. You can't have a community when you're dispersed and scattered, okay? The school district in where I live may have some total different issues than the school system where you live, if you're in another district or part of town. So we can't really say that we community. We know one another, but community entails economics. It entails all the various aspects that we can make decisions on together. Okay?
Uh-huh.
So first of all, we have to form community. We have to find out what our community needs. And when decisions are made at the community level, make sure that those decisions benefit all of us. Okay? But, you putting a speed bump on the main thoroughfare, like I said, in your side of town, that doesn't affect my side of town. That's because we're not in the same community. We need to form communities. Then we can understand what our common needs are. Then we'll have a base of power from which to approach someone and say, well, this is what we need. And if you want our vote or our support, you need to address this issue right here. Like in Chinatown. When Chinatown needs to have all of the street signs in English and Chinese, they can do that because they have a community. They can say from this street to this street, however many people here can vote and support you, you need to do this before you get those votes and that support. That's an example of how we begin to get to agenda. It entails geographic location, okay? So that we can't be, moved around from this part to that part and segmented and, lines drawn through our neighborhood and, okay, well, your vote counts for this and your vote counts for that now. But geographic location is a big part of where it starts. So that is certainly a question that entails more than a little bit of time that we have for this show. But, I'll at least throw that out there. We got to actually form communities, physical communities.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, thank you for answering.
Oh, well, thank you for asking. I appreciate that. What we're going to do, I was explaining the lineup for the show today. I wanted to casually guide us into and get into our discussion on what our focus is going to be. For the first half an hour, we're kind of not really hitting it too much, but we're kind of getting ourselves in position. I wanted to make sure that I gave enough time for people to call in. We got a boatload of callers on the line. We already have some people who have their hand raised, so I see you all. I'm glad you all came in. And our co-host, Brother Kamos Muhammad, he's also on the line. So let me see if I can bring him in now. three. Brother Camos, is that you?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Vernon and Sister Gidget.
Wa alaikum
salam, sir.
Assalamu alaikum
to the listening family.
Yeah, there are boatloads of them out there, so they all virtually say assalamu alaikum and wa alaikum salam back to you. How are you feeling, my brother? Everything good?
Oh, absolutely. All praise is due to Allah. You know, it's good to be alive and good to have a man like the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in our midst as an example and a guide to us that we can put forth the things that we're watching him do, and we can move ourselves, our family, our nation, our people, and really the planet forward. So, yes, indeed, brother, I'm feeling wonderful today.
All right, my brother. Give us, if you can, give us your thoughts on the title of the show, brother. You know, this is the No Romance Without Finance show. This is us. This is our thing, man. Every Sunday we're going to be on enlightening people about the economic blueprint and the freedom economic challenge. So how do you feel about No Romance Without Finance?
Well, brother, that's a wonderful title, because it should ring bells in the minds of many, and it should make us think about a number of things. We know that there's a certain truism to that. We know that, you know, with no finance, then not much is going to actually get done in any actual corridor. And if, you know, you think about finance and think about economics, you know, it might even take you back to Star Trek, you know, the final frontier. Well, we've gone as a people in a lot of the studies and a lot of the developments. We've come a long way. There's no doubt that as a people coming up out of slavery, that we've achieved quite a bit. But in terms of economics, for us, that is like the final frontier that we have yet to really get our feet even really wet in, that we've yet to even do the things that we know need to be done to take us into a whole different level of development as a people.
Indeed. All right, well, let's do this. We're approaching the first half-hour mark. What I want to do is take a real brief break, and then we'll hear a word from our sponsor after we come back. Y'all ain't know we had a sponsor for the show, do you? That's how you got to do it. So we're going to take a real quick break, and as I said, we have people who have already called in, and they have their hands raised. They want to weigh in on this discussion. Once we come back, I'll bring some of those callers in, and we'll find out what all you have to say, and then we'll lay out some information and actually get into the game plan, because this is not just a discussion, even though it says Blog Talk Radio. We want to actually parlay that into some action, into some meaningful steps that we can take away from this. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Finance show in the nation building lineup of radio shows. My name is Vernon Muhammad. I'm on the line with my co-host, Brother Camos Muhammad, and our good sister, Gidget Muhammad. We want to have a brief word from our sponsor, and our sponsor this week is Freedom Paper Company. For those of you who don't know, in the black community, as a matter of fact, in the Nation of Islam, some brothers and some sisters have gotten together and formulated a company that is producing its own line of bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash bags, and other assorted commercial and residential bathroom and kitchen products. These are items that you purchase every day, that you have purchased, and that you will purchase, keeping in line with the economic blueprint, keeping in line with the spirit of cooperative economics and keeping in line with the pledge that was taken at the Million Man March to enter into trade and commerce, this venture has been started, and what we'd like you to do is visit www.freedompapercompany.com and begin to join us in the freedom economic movement to redirect dollars that are going out of our community to all these other brands and all these other places like Walmart and Target and Costco, Sam's Club, wherever you normally buy these vital, necessary items for life from. Start buying them from your brothers, from your sisters, from the companies that are within your own community and will in turn support community endeavors that are near and dear to your heart. So when you get the opportunity, go to freedompapercompany.com, learn more and more about what this company does, what the products are, and what it is that we're trying to do in our community with the freedom economic movement and with our community incentives. Brother Kim, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All righty. And Sister Gidget, I know you are there, right? For those of you
yes,
who
sir.
Don't know,
I put my phone on mute so you wouldn't hear my background noise if I had any. So, but yes, sir,
okay.
I'm right here.
All right, all right. I was going to tell them that, you know, we got to get the S1Ws or something. You know, look out for you because every once in a while, you know, people do stuff with Sister Gidget's phone.
Every hour on the hour.
So I got my egg timer. We looking out for you. All right, we got a caller who's on. We got a few callers. I'm going to start bringing y'all in one at a time. Caller from 618. Your mic is live. Please identify yourself and say hello to the No Romance Without Finance listening audience.
Yes, I want to give extended greetings of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is his true servant and messenger, and that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is not only a divine warner and teacher and guide for the black man, woman, and child in America, but for the entire world. Amen.
All right. What's your name? What's your name?
My name is Brother Dawood Muhammad. I'm known as...
Yes, I'm
known as Brother Wisdom to See, or Dr. Wisdom to See. And I'm actually an entrepreneur, and I've been in the internet business for a while, for over 10 years, the Talk Black Live, you know, radio. And then also I own Joseph Visions Technologies as well as Solar Wind Power LLC. And that is something I've started over 10 years ago in the solar energy technology field. But I wanted to kind of quickly address some points that you made, starting from politics, and some things that I can make it real quick. And that is that when we see, I have a saying about politics, let politics articulate into economics, or let economics be our barometer to how we cast our vote. And when we see social conditions change, we must learn to create new forms of economic positioning or new forms of economic leveraging. But the question is, what is it that we have to leverage with? And you gave some excellent examples of just with the articles of products that we normally use routinely every day as a start. But I think that as we move toward the divine intervention in regards to us having land, that is going to definitely, under the teaching, by the teaching of Muhammad Elijah Muhammad, we know that's what we have to have. But at this point, there is things are happening in terms of technology and energy, starting with energy costs. The sister mentioned about, and I give a greeting to everyone, that the sister mentioned something about an agenda. I would like to express that I would like to see us have an agenda that deals with at least four areas. One is energy costs. The second one is not only energy, but it's energy, food, technology, and housing costs. And if we can deal with those four areas, there's a fifth one, which is medical costs. And I would like to real quick, I'm going to say it so fast that it'd be surprised. Energy is one thing, and one I would like to see us create is a solar cooperative, a solar housing cooperative. That means that the goal is to target the reduction of energy costs, which is a burden upon our communities. And in many ways, many people don't know that it's so serious that if a person, especially in a single-family household or anybody's family household, if the power get cut off and if they're on subsidized housing, Section 8 housing, and public housing, there are other social effects that comes into mind. When a family gets tied up with the health care industry, or when I'm talking with tie-in with the family services or whatever, if their power get cut off, then now we have something else that is being underreported. We hear about tornadoes and hurricanes and power outages, and we even heard about what happened in India with over close to 1 billion people without electrical power. But when we bring it home and look at those families that are being cut off, and that means that what happens if they're tied to if they were doing on subsidized rent or subsidized housing, then if their power get cut off, they only have a certain amount of time within 30 days or so to get that electricity turned back on. If they don't, then what happens is that the children can literally be taken away from the parents. And now we have a whole new crop of black children that are literally being put into these children homes because the parents, all because they can't afford to pay their utility bills.
Huh.
So now we really got some serious issues going on, and it really gets very, very deep when we go down that road. But I'm just trying to bring up only highlight one point. But we can come back by looking at solar as a way with other technologies in our supreme wisdom. In our lesson plans, it speaks about this lion that's in a cage but came across technology. He was able to move at a faster pace. Well, Bill Gates came out with a book about 20 years ago, and it states it's called Business at the Speed of Thought, Creating a Digital Nervous System, meaning that now the things that we're faced with is that the technology is moving at such a fast pace. Within the black community, and I'm going to give you an example. We came up with a plan, which we're already working on right now. We're researchers, and we're actually doing everything that we're talking about. There's nothing I'm saying that we're not talking about that we're not doing. We have a supermarket in St. Louis called Yours Market. Behind the back of that, we did the research throughout the winter so that we can see that to make sure that when we build our greenhouse and hydroponic center, we can grow our own fish. Now we have 5,000 tilapia fish. We started with 23 tilapia fish, and now we have 5,000 fish. Now we're getting ready to expand that up to sometime within the next year or so. We're looking at trying to generate up to 500,000 pounds of fish for our community. But then in addition to that, we look at the cost of technology. We're talking about the elimination of the redundancy of technology. And I'm going to give you an example. If you have an apartment unit complex and you have like 1,000 people housing, let's say you have 500 family units, why is everybody paying for the same internet? If you think about it, our people are paying high utility bills, but on top of that, we're paying for technology, and that is redundant, meaning that we came up and we've already did the research where we can, and what I would like to put and see this as part of a priority for our community, is that we start using new techniques and new processes and strategies and positioning to be able to eliminate 50% of all debt within our community.
Well, you know,
the way that we look at it.
You make some very, very excellent points. I tell you, you are hitting it right on the point where really I'm coming from with this show. You covered so many topics in just that short span of time, and if there's anything that I could echo or reiterate in terms of what you're saying, especially in terms of what you're saying, I'm so glad that you said your name, and I'm so glad I got your number now, because
yes,
you are the point that you're hitting on that hits close to my heart, is this communities. You know, just like you said, if individuals are out there paying for utility bills, or if individuals are out there and they you know, are at a loss or at a deficit for a certain amount of time, that's easy pickings. You know, you can get picked off and invalidate your own contribution, your value to the greater cause. We make ourselves stronger and we make each other stronger when we come together, especially when we come together in physical geographic locations, because then if one particular part of the body is ailing, the other parts can rally around, protect, and build that part of the body up. That's so critical and so on point. And I know that we're going to have more opportunities to have conversation about that and about what you're talking about, because especially when you talk about energy, solar power, that is exactly in the line with where we need to go. But let me do this, because we have a bunch of callers online. I want to make sure that if Brother Kamos has something to say about what you're saying, you know, everybody else gets a chance to weigh in before we move on to our next call.
Yes, Brother Brandon, before we go, I just want to close it real quick. I'm just going to make this last statement. What we came up with through our research is this, and let me get fast, is that we came up with a solar wireless free public Wi-Fi hub. That means that we figured out a way that we can actually propagate the wave, that we could be able to provide free internet for up from 1 mile to 5 mile radius, and in some cases we have a plan that we can be able to cover 12 mile radiuses where everyone can get on the internet for free. Because now, if they're talking about trying to find a job, which we know means just over broke, we're talking about, you know, self ownership and owning what we're talking about. We own the free wireless Wi-Fi hub, which means that those that come in, then we could teach, train inside that network, but at the same time, people can be able to use that system to be able to upload their resumes, because a lot of jobs now, you can't just walk in and do anything unless you could be able to put that resume up into, you know, I mean, you have to upload a resume now. And so we have to find a way, because if the people can't go to the library and the library stays, they only allow them 1 hour on the library, we want to own the whole system. And do you know, just the payment of three or four payments out of 500 families could afford a system that we could be able to propagate a solar wireless free public Wi-Fi hub in our communities, and we can put them all over the country, and we can actually take this internet radio station, your program, and be able to broadcast it, and then we got to target the 1 million cell phone listeners. I'm talking about not cell phone. I'm talking about smartphone listeners.
Mobile, right.
And mobile. That's where we got to go. That's it. That's all I wanted to say.
Right on point, brother. Hey, my brother, stay healthy. I will pray that Allah keep you around and keep you protected, because we got work to do in the future, and we can't afford to lose not one of us, all right? Brother Kamos.
Yes, sir. I think what the brother was saying was as well absolutely on point. I just want to make a couple of quick comments about it. What he was saying, number one, about the usage or ability now to use solar power in such a way to harness the power of the internet and do it in a cost-effective way for people is absolutely phenomenal. If they are researching such a thing, that is something we need to hear more and more about. What it really brought back to mind was the element of what we talked about in the beginning of the show, which is the Million Man March, and then, of course, the advent of the Million Man March, which was and is the Million Moors Movement, and the development of the nine ministries. And it was really what the brother was saying and what we're saying and what we may hear many others call in and talk about, the multitude and different aspects of life in which we need to attack in every single way. We need to attack technology. We need to attack agriculture. We need to be dealing and developing arts and culture. We need trade and commerce. We need all of the aspects of life. And so the brother makes some excellent points, but here's the key. The vehicle to us getting together in unity and harmony with all of this is using that which Allah and His servant have blessed us with through the development of the nine ministries. Getting involved in organizing the nine ministries and all of those aspects, and then unifying those developments together is the thing that will make each one of these things happen, and happen at that quicker rate and that quicker pace that lion coming out of the cage is able to do. I want to say to my brother, I hope you're still listening, we reached out. That is Freedom Paper Company. We reached out to the brothers at your supermarket in St. Louis. I was given myself directly the phone number of a couple of brothers. We contacted one. He gave me another brother's information, and we made several calls and attempts to reach out to them because what you're saying is true, and then we have to begin to tie in the different units and aspects of the things that we're doing so that what you're doing can be enhanced by what we're doing, because in developing an economic movement, monies come about so that if you're developing and researching the technologies and the infrastructures of things that need to be put in place, then there's the development of economy and economics that's there for you to begin us to begin to move these things forward. So I want to give you our direct number, and hopefully someone from that market, yourself and the other brothers and or sisters, can reach out to us directly, and we can look at what we can do together in unison to begin to build some of these models that we talk about. That number is 888-746-6566. That's Freedom Paper Company. You can the offices of Freedom Paper Company as well is 443-542-5845. Please give us a call and reach out to us so that we can move forward to do some of these things together.
Okay, I'm the president of the Gateways Solar Co-op for the Yours Market. And so, matter of fact, we have the CEO, but I'm the president of the board. We're talking about we have the CEO of the board, but I'm the president. What's your number again? It's
888-746-6566.
Okay, I got 6526. Is that correct?
6566.
Okay, and your name again? Oh, I got your name on here, brother. I got you. Okay, brother, how you pronounce it? K-I?
K as in Kilo, A as in Alpha, M as in Mike, O as in Oscar, S as in Sam, E as in Echo. Kamos.
Okay, Kamos.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, excellent, brother. And then we will get on top of that, and I think that what I was thinking right away is to get those products that you're talking about down into that store. I think that would be the first thing, okay? And so we'll talk about that as we go on. I'm still standing by, and I'm still here to listen and learn. And if there's a time that I could be able to put in any more of the inputs, because we're looking at the solar housing industry, and we're talking about buying up those foreclosed properties and selling them with solar already on them. And that's another market that we're looking at, too. So there's a whole bunch of things that we're looking at. And understand one thing here. I'm not talking. I'm doing it. There's a big difference between talk and doing it. And if you've been down to Yours Market, I'm the one responsible for that, what you see down there, me and a few other brothers and sisters. But basically that whole greenhouse and hydroponic center, I got pictures and photos to prove it. Matter of fact, you can see it on Facebook. So everything that we're talking about, we're doing. And when we talk about that solar wireless Wi-Fi hub, we're doing it. We done already did it. We done already got it. We got one portion of it up, but we got people now want to come to invest. I plan to be in D.C., and then I got to go to Philadelphia because a lot of people want to know how can we do that so that people can get on the Internet for free.
Brother, if you are coming to D.C., we definitely need to hook up. You are coming to our part of town, the whole East Coast. So while you need somewhere to stay, you can come stay with me, brother. I got you covered, all right? We're going to make sure that we do whatever is necessary to facilitate this kind of progress. See, this is networking at its finest, and this is what we need to do.
I should be up there, and I've got a group of people paying for me to come up there to speak. And I've been up there several times to speak. And so I've been behind the scenes on a lot of things. If you could understand, go back over 10 years, what happened is that we never really associated the green movement or any kind of way looking at technology as being a part of our language, of a black economic language. We've always talked about social affairs, but never about economics or understand about how technology is key. But that's fine. Now we're there. Even in California, the black community, California was the most progressive in the technology, but yet the black community never saw themselves until only a few years later to participate in the process to see how the savings and everything else worked. Because sometimes I guess they just didn't believe that the technology was real, but it's real.
See, no romance without finance. Let's take care of business so we can get to the good stuff, bro. Thank you so much for what you had to offer. Don't go away, all right?
Yes, sir.
I wanted to give him the greeting because I didn't want him to think I was ignoring him, but I had the phone on mute. So, Brother Assalamu Alaikum, I'm sorry about that.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Yes, ma'am. Wa alaikum salam, sister. It's a great honor and pleasure to hear your voice.
Thank you much, Brother Dawood. There's another caller. We got a couple more callers on the line. We're actually getting to the winding down. It's amazing. Almost an hour has passed, and we got a bit more to go. So I'm going to bring in another caller from the 610 area code, 610-333. Your mic is hot. Please introduce yourself. Hello. Peace and blessings to you.
Yes, hi. Peace and blessings, Brother Vernon and everyone else. This is Selena Pinkney coming to you from Pennsylvania.
Selena, that's my cousin, y'all.
That's right. Hi, Vernon.
Greetings.
Hi, everybody. Greetings. Peace and blessings. I couldn't agree with you more, Vern, and everyone else on the line about unity as black people. Okay, we all come together. Well, we'll come all together, hopefully, soon as African-Americans, regardless of what shade, color, creed. We as black people are still, for some reason in this country, not unified because of thinking about East Coast, West Coast, or North and South side, people worrying about light skin or dark skin, brown skin, red skin. When it all comes down to the surface, we all bleed red, right? Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is more of our people basically inviting each other to each other's shows and each other's businesses. I'm also an entrepreneur. I also run a show as well. I'm also a continuing education major going back to college. And I can tell you, I remember going into the nail salon a couple weeks ago, and when they finished doing my nails, the Asian women and men working together in their nail salon business, they finished, they got up, and they said, okay, we're going to go to our brother's restaurant for dinner now. They pretty much got up on one accord. It was a beautiful thing seeing that, and I hope that one day we as black people, African-Americans, can do the same thing. And I definitely am going to remember to invite other people on your show, Vern, next Sunday, the Sunday after that, the Sunday after that. And I want to say one last thing, because I know you have other callers waiting, that many of us have various gifts. Some of us are very capable of starting our business, and there's people that have the technique. They're not doing it. So we as black people want to bring that out of them. You know, we might know somebody that is a good baker or somebody that could be an interior decorator or real estate or entrepreneur or go back to school for whatever it is. Every day we come across people that they need various products and services. And I can definitely say that next time I step out of my house, if I'm talking to somebody that mentions they need this or that, I'm going to say, you know what, you can go to freedompaper.com and ABC and XYZ and things of that nature.
There you go. I appreciate that
yes,
so much,
ma'am.
Cousin. Just to correct something, it's freedompapercompany.com.
That's right.
All right.
That's what I meant. Freedom Paper Company. I already went to the website and I like it already. I'm going to start ordering things up there myself.
Wonderful, wonderful. Good stuff. Thank you so much. You going to hang in here with us or are you getting off the line?
I'm going to hang in there. I just wanted to say one last thing just to finish off with my point that I was trying to make. That although, you know, we as black people are different nationalities and we're out in different parts of the world, the only difference between somebody from the United States and where we are or those out in the Virgin Islands or Trinidad or Jamaica is that they were dropped off there and we were dropped off here. Some of them had to be forced to work the sugar cane. Some had to be forced to pick the cotton. But when it all boils down to it, we all black people and hopefully we'll be able to come together as one and remember that. And that's when it's going to all come together. So I'm going to just continue believing that.
You got it, cuz. I can't even differ with you in one iota. Truer words have never been spoken. Thanks so much.
And I have to say congratulations on the company and everything. I'm so happy to hear how great the company's doing. Keep up the good work.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot. All right. We got one more caller who's been holding for a while. Brother Kim, also Sister Gidget, and y'all have anything you want to tackle in this moment?
Oh, no, I'm just so excited for this being your first time at the gate, and we have so many people just calling in with so many great ideas, and it just lets me know how remarkable of a people that we really are. So thank you to your cousin. I don't want to mispronounce her name. I think she said Celine. I'm not sure. And yeah. Brother Dawu, so thank you.
Yeah, there are actually quite a few more lines open. If any of y'all want to join the conversation, just hit number one, press one on your phone, and I'll see that you have your hand raised, and I'll bring you into the conversation. But there's one other person I wanted to bring in. I see the number is 443-854. Let me hit the button now. All right, your mic is live, 443-854. Introduce yourself.
Hey, how you doing?
Wa alaikum salam. Peace and blessings to you, brother. Who's this?
Assalamu alaikum.
This is Brother Carlton.
Oh.
And I called. We spoke earlier, brother. You reminded me of the show, and I'm very interested in getting on the show. And then you all know that I really want to support everything that I hear going on. I had, just to go off a little bit, I spoke to Brother Dewey, a few years back. I'm glad that he's still doing what he's doing, because we spoke a few years back. I was interested in some property, and I was going to buy some property back then where we were going to build some homes, and I wanted to use solar energy. I'm still interested in doing that. That proposal kind of got pushed back a little bit, but I'm still interested in doing that with his technology that he has available. So I'm glad that he's up, he's there, he's doing what he's doing, and hopefully I can get in contact with him. We can all network together and do some things together like that. Anyway, there are a lot of, with the upcoming lecture that we have coming with the minister, there are a lot of things that come to mind for me. Me being someone who has been affiliated with the Nation of Islam for about 25 years, I've seen us go from program to program on doing things, you know, with regards to economics. Of course, we have not been able to really reach the apex of which we can with those programs that we've had in place. And then, of course, we always have an outreach program for our community where we will go out and we'll try to pull our people in to give them knowledge of self and teach them about, you know, what it is we do in terms of trying to get our people out of poverty and want. But the major problem that I've seen about us, and the thing that we need to do, and I'm specifically talking to the Nation of Islam members, we need to be thinking about, and we need, especially the ones that have been educated in whatever field, especially the field in finance and the field of economics, which is where I'm at, we need to really start focusing on or really have asked the important questions of what are we going to do about capturing that economics within the Nation of Islam. In other words, I've been asking the question for the last week on Facebook about when are we going to be concerned about the believers and the registered believers in their economic situation, because if the registered believers in the Nation of Islam have an economic situation that needs to be resolved before we really can affect the community that surrounds us. You understand what I'm saying? And it's not a criticism going out to any specific person or thing in the Nation of Islam. It's just a question that needs to be asked and a problem that needs to be solved if we really intend on capturing our people and keeping our people within the nation and helping them and, you know, being saviors for them. Because the main problem that we have in our community is that we have a problem with unemployment, you know. And the people that are hit hardest with unemployment in our community are the black male, you know. The black male is less likely to get a job. The percentage of a black male not working is higher than any percentage that you can find on any report, but they don't report that. They specifically report that it's 14%, like it's not working. But if you really look deep into a lot of the black male, they don't dare stop looking for a job. You know what I mean? So the problem that we're really running into in the streets is that these brothers don't have no job, no opportunity, you know, no ability to be able to get ahead and have something to, you know, to look back at and say, hey, this is me, I'm the man. Like in finance or no romance, I mean, if you don't have the money, then you can't really be able to have that family that you want. You know what I mean? Or you can't be respected in that family like you want to be. You know, so anyway, that was the major question that I've been asking. Also, one other thing I wanted us to think about, and this is very important, and this is something that we really need to look into as people that are speaking about the economic blueprint and economics. We, for 17 years ago, we had a millionaire march. Everybody knows that. I was there, and I really, really, I mean, it was inspirational. Everybody knows how it went, right? It's been 17 years, okay? Just think about this. This is a critical thing I'm saying here, but it's something for us to think about. It's been 17 years, and we in the Nation of Islam have a three-year economic program. We don't understand the nature of a three-year economic program. We need to really delve deep and study what it is to have a three-year economic program and what the Ambalaj Muhammad meant by us having a three-year economic program. A three-year economic program is supposed to get us out of certain levels of economic strife over a three-year period. It's been 17 years since the Million Man March. So we should have had four terms of economic development over a three-year period. So in other words, what I'm saying is that we should have had three economic program developments over a cycle four times. You see what I'm saying? And what we have to be able to do is buckle down and see how we can really make that three economic plan really real. Because our economic situation should change every 3 years, is what the Ambalaj Muhammad was talking about. Every 3 years, our economic situation should change in the nation. And if our economic situation changes in the nation, then we'll be able to have an ability to change the economic situation for our people that are surround us. That's all I want to say. I just want to get that out there.
I thank you for that, brother. There's so one of the interesting things about what you're saying is I think we can go anywhere in Black America and look at any group or organization or gathering, and I'm almost certain we can find some of the same situations and scenarios that need to be addressed. You talk about programs, programs that exist, and, we're seeing a snippet of it tonight because the three people who have come on this show as guests so far, I can, from what I know of each of you, each one comes representing a different segment of of the totality, a different segment of the whole. So every one of us brings an interesting new insight, new dynamic to the scenario, to the situation, to the issue that we're dealing with. And it's all valuable that each viewpoint is a valid viewpoint. You can have programs, but the main thing that is vital and necessary is participation in the program. Mm-hmm. From the Solar Power Initiative to the community incentives with Freedom Paper Company to what Sister Selena was talking about to what you're talking about. Whether these programs existed for years or decades or whether they are getting ready to kick off this year, it's so vitally necessary for us to participate. There's a couple who last year, 2011, I think they started in 2011, they did the Empowerment Project for 1 year. I think it's Maggie Anderson, and I can't remember what her husband's name is, but they dedicated 1 year, at least 1 year. They kicked it off with 1 year of every way and every possible need that they had, where they had to spend money, where they had to purchase, buy, or support an economic system. They tried to make sure that they were spending their money with Black people. Now, the idea of cooperative economics, that's not a new concept. There's nothing new about that. Since Kwanzaa has been around, Kuji Chagalia, 1966, that's nothing new. But here we are, 2012, and we still can't very well say that as a whole or even in a significant part of the population, that's a regular aspect of our culture. So those valuable things that need to take place, they need to take place, they need to start with participation not just on an individual level, but as a whole. You're right, there are many things that need to be addressed, and you could talk about one group, you can talk about another group, But I think that until we all, you know, come together like we're doing now, until we really, really network and not wait for someone to implement the program, but we are having the discussion, we take responsibility for it, we move it forward. That's what time it is now. And from what I'm hearing from, you know, the person I look to, my teacher, ever since last year, ever since October of 2011, I can't remember nothing. I really can't remember anything else without going back to hear the lecture, except for the moment when he said, the survival of us as a people is at stake. Business is warfare. And in case you haven't noticed, we are at war. So you better think seriously that this talk that we're having now about economic blueprint, economic empowerment, cooperative economics is not just casual conversation. That's why I said, are you willing to accept the challenge? If you read the description of this show, this is a call to action. When I asked you, when I asked the people who are listening to go to Freedom Paper Company, not just so you can see the website, you're going to buy bathroom tissue from someone. I'm deliberately asking you, whoever you are buying bathroom tissue from now, if they're not black owned, stop. Buy from Freedom Paper Company because they're black owned and because they will put money back into our community. If you are doing the internet piece, whoever you're paying, every one of us is paying for internet service. We need to make sure that we implement Brother Dawood's program so that whatever locations around the country we can go to, we establish this and more of us can begin to redirect the resources that are going out of our community back into our community. But that's so vital. You're right on point. You're right on point there. Yes, sir. Let me give you a couple more minutes, and then we got another two or three callers that we want to come in. Go ahead, bro.
Yes, sir. I need a couple minutes. I just wanted to tell you, you know, I was leaving. I was in the Walmart when you spoke to me, and I did not buy the toilet paper because I was going, I'm going to buy your toilet paper.
I got a hug and a high five waiting for you, brother.
Okay. So that's what's happening with that. So you're right. We definitely got to get involved in and really supporting each other with the programs that we have, so that we can really get them going where they need to be going. I would like to let everyone say that my group is called the EVP Group. Most of my information is you can find it on Facebook. What I'm trying to do is I have funding that I can get to invest in businesses, and I also would like to get investors. Okay, so I'm looking for investors, and the investors that I'm looking for are people that have a like mind, because I really don't want to be in business with people that are not really. I mean, I don't really want to be in business with people that's not registered in the Nation of Islam. Really, you know what I mean? I know that we have enough business people in the community, or enough people that need to invest, that I can just go to my own people right within the Nation of Islam right now. You know what I mean? And I would like them to invest and contribute to this situation. If you see what I'm talking about, if you go and look and see what I'm talking about. And what we're trying to do with the EBP group is invest in other businesses. So I would like to invest in that supermarket. I would like to invest in the Freedom Paper Company. These things are things I want to invest in, so we can diversify this investment unit. We're a venture capitalist capital company that wants to invest in different ventures, so that we can make money from them, and we can also allow people to have invested interest in them through our institution that we're trying to develop. That's called an economic. That's building an economic system right there. Because now we get a chance to invest in businesses of our own, and we get to be able to see that grow, the business grow, and also our investment grow, and then we'll be able to understand equity, you know what I mean? We'll be able to understand those type of things and how we can really develop our own economic system, because that's what makes them the system that we're under so powerful, is that these people are so faithful about investing in their economic system, their stock market, if you will, you know what I mean? And we can do the same thing. We got enough businesses developing around here where we can develop our own stock market, our own virtual Wall Street. And that's the aim of the EBP group. And that's all I'm going to say for tonight.
I see it, brother. I thank you so much for weighing in on that. Let me just bring this to light, and then I think we're due for another brief break. And I see a couple more people I'm going to bring in. One of the things, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught that one of the things that when our ancestors were brought to these shores, one of the things that their captors made sure that they would never expose them to is the science of business. And what you're talking about, what we're discussing here, and what all of this is going to springboard into is really us reclaiming our stolen legacy. So, you know, there are certain wheels that are in motion now that can't be stopped. And I'm so thankful for being able to participate in this and being alive at this time, because we're on the rise, and we're going to be bringing a whole lot of good to ourselves, to our people, and to future generations. So thank you for that. Let me do this real quick. Brother Camos, I heard you trying to mention something.
Yes, sir. Are you getting ready to go to break?
Want me to go to break?
Well, if we have a little time, there's been certainly an abundance of very good truths that have been spoken, and I wanted to kind of bring all of this into where we are at the moment to some kind of a central thought, if I possibly could, because what Sister Celine was saying, and she gave an example of her being in a shop of, I think she said, Koreans or Vietnamese, and they owned the shop, and then they decided that they were going to go and do business with their brother. And in a unison or unified way, they all got up to go do that. And then as brother was just talking about he asked a question, and he posed a question about the what is it, he's speaking within the nation, what is it that is within us in the nation, and we could certainly expand that beyond the nation to us as a people here in America, as a people in the diaspora, whether it be in the Caribbean or even in Africa, what is it about us as a people that seems to allow our condition to continue to be what it is? And we can break this down into one kind of a thought. And if we think about this word, we might begin to ask ourselves a question about how easy it becomes to break a pattern that we seem to be shaped and molded into. And that pattern is a pattern of against what's natural. Because what the sister spoke about was something natural. It's natural for people to want to do business with each other who are of the same kind. That's not to say that we would never do business with others, but it is natural to look towards your own first. That's just natural. But we know that we're not acting natural. So what's wrong here if we're not acting natural? Well, the word that comes to mind is the word survive. Survive. And if we can all just reflect upon that word, survive, what does it mean to survive? I want to just give us that actual definition of the word survive, just two definitions. It says to remain or alive or in existence. To remain alive or in existence. Another definition says to remain functional or usable. To remain functional or usable. And so what we're talking about here today, when we're talking about economics and the necessity of economics, we're talking about our survival. We're talking about the capacity to stay alive. We're talking about the ability to stay in existence. Because if we don't do these things, as you said, paraphrasing what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated October 2011 in Philadelphia, if we don't do this economically, we will not continue to exist, because others have deemed that we are not functional or usable. So we've been taught and instructed under his guidance, he said that the enemies look and say, what are we going to do with this people who were brought here for a particular purpose, which was to build their world? And so when they look at us and they find us non-functional, they find us not usable, the question is, where do we find ourselves functional and usable? This is survival today. And this is a very serious question that has to be continually expounded upon by all of us who are playing a role in this. This is very good. This is a very good beginning to a fabulous show, Brother Vernon.
very good beginning to a fabulous show, because all of these questions have to be answered. All of these things have to be talked about. But at the essence and the core of it is our very survival.
All praise is due to the Most High One, Allahu Akbar. That is great, and we are definitely in need of this type of conversation and the action that this is going to produce. We're not just on here talking just for the sake of talking. I mean, I like y'all, but we got to do some stuff. So let's do this. I want to take a break real quick, and then the caller from 678-933, you're going to be up next. So stay, don't you dare go away. Hold on for a little bit. Coming up Sunday, October 14th, in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan will be speaking at the 17th anniversary of the Million Man March. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam present Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Ending Poverty and Want. This is going to be at the Bojangles Coliseum. Tickets are available. You can purchase them. You can go online to purchase them. Go to www.noi.org. Look for the link that says Holy Day of Atonement or HDOA 2012. If you are close to or near Charlotte, North Carolina, or if you are able to make the trip, it will be well worth your while. Do it, do it, do it. Visit noi.org/HDOA2012 for more details and to make any reservations or to buy tickets to that event. All right, we are back with the No Romance. Good Lord, I can't even remember the daggone name of the show. No Romance Without Finance. I can't get it out. We're back, and I want to highlight or reiterate one more thing that actually came from Claude Anderson, just to bring some gravity to this discussion and the situation that we're facing. For the last, I guess, about 4 or 5 years that I've been aware of Dr. Claude Anderson, he's the author of two books that I know of. One is called Powernomics. One is called Black Labor, White Wealth. He is a former undersecretary, I believe, of Commerce under President Jimmy Carter. And I think he had a big hand in writing some of the affirmative action legislation that was originally designed specifically to remedy some of the wrongs for black people in America. But over time, things get watered down, and what we have as a benefit for us gets turned around and used against us. But he said in his analysis of our economic condition and situation in America that, and keep in mind that he's been saying this for the past 4 or 5 years, and we can really kind of see and bear him witness, but he was saying that by 2013 or 14, if we have not turned our economic condition around and started doing something for ourselves, capturing some avenue of ownership and power, so that we can begin to build from, we, black people in America, will be relegated to the position of a permanent underclass. Now, that whole phrase and everything that he said in that has a lot of significance, and it's something that we all need to pause, think about, do some research on, read up on it, whatever the case may be. But there's a lot that goes into that, and that means we really, really need to take this conversation seriously, and we really need to think about taking action after this conversation and participating seriously, because there is a lot at stake and there is so much to gain. Let me do this. Brother Camos, you're live with us. You're online. Your mic is hot. And I'm going to bring in a caller from 678-933. Please introduce yourself and welcome to No Romance Without Finance.
Yes, this is Brother Jihad Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, my brother. How are you?
I'm doing fine by Allah's help. I just wanted to call and show my love and support and give you congratulations, and I'm just sitting back enjoying the show. I don't have any questions or comments. I'm learning as well, and it's been a very inspiring show and very informational, and I just want to sit back and enjoy it. So I just wanted to let you know I'm out here, brother, and just giving my support and love. May Allah bless you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, brother. We have started something off, and if we're setting the bar high, it just means we are stepping up and we mean to maintain that. So we look forward to more and more good that's going to come from this night and from this broadcast each Sunday. Inshallah, we'll get better and better as time goes on.
Praise be to Allah.
Thank you much, my brother. If you, I'm going to go ahead and mute your line again, all right?
Thank you, sir.
All right, we got another caller in from, wait a minute. Sister Gidget, you doing all right?
you left me, but that's okay.
I think I hit the wrong button. I thought that you were with us for a long time, but you know, I see now that the red button next to your number means you know, you're live. So welcome back.
Well, you know, my phone hung up and you didn't call me back, so I just decided to call in. That's okay.
All right, I'm glad to know that nobody got you.
Thank you, Brother Ferdinand.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We got one more caller in on the 551-221 number. Your microphone is live. Please introduce yourself and welcome to No Romance Without Finance.
Assalamu alaikum, family. Brother Morrison calling in.
Well, like
Marcus, sir, I have been listening, and this is very interesting and much needed. You know, I wanted to sort of draw a parallel here. When I watched the both the convention, the Democratic and the Republican convention, but I was more so curious about the Democratic convention, and a very interesting thing happened. I guess the speaker or whoever the person is dubbed put a motion forward to how did they put it? God back in the platform and America's resolute support for the Jewish state of Israel, and that Israel's capital will be Jerusalem. And as he tried to introduce that motion, he asked the crowd, all those in favor say aye. People said aye. And then he asked all those in favor that say nay, say nay. And the response, the yeas and the nays, were pretty much the same. And you could see his face was flushed. He was sort of somewhat embarrassed or caught off guard. So he called it again, and the yeas was very weak. And he pushed the motion through either way, and you could see the crowd's response. You know, some was gesturing, you know, no, 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 no. The reason why I'm bringing this up is, you know, hey, and I watch Negroes jump up and down and clap and cheer over beautiful speeches. But my question was, where is the black agenda? You know what I'm saying? And so we have to push the messenger's 3-year economic plan, because neither Mr. Obama, President Obama, or Mitt, or whatever that idiot's name is not going to do that. We have to. We have the blueprint. We've been given it. We have the tools, and we have to push it. And I just want to say, Freedom Paper Company is a classical example of doing for self. So we have to go out there and make what's been given to us, you know, a reality. because we should not be under no illusion to think that either a controlled black president or some beneficent white man is going to do for us what we can do for ourselves. It's not going to happen. And, you know, I want to ask Brother Camus a question. You know, what is it going to take for us to realize as a people that we must do for self? Because I saw the reaction of those people at that convention, black folk, they were clapping and cheering, oh, beautiful speech, all of that. But it comes back to my question, our president, he pushed a gay platform and he addressed the gay community, of course, the Jewish community. And but when it comes to us, 40 million plus black folk here in the wilderness of North America, nothing. And we are satisfied with a speech, you know, that's what we're satisfied with. What is it going to take for us to realize that, the saying goes, you know, it's getting to a point now where it's root like them rednecks say, I hate to use the term, root hog or die. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's basically all I got to say, you know.
If I may, Brother Vernon, to the brother's question, a couple of things came to mind when he posed that question. What is it going to take for us to do the things that we're talking about, or at least more of us to do the things that we're talking about? What is it going to take? And two things came to mind when you asked that question. And the first thing that came to mind was what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan talked about. We might remember about a year or so ago when he did a radio show coming out of New York City, and he gave a history then of our economic condition. And he talked about the fact that we're in a time when certainly if we don't do what's necessary, the words of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad will become absolutely true, which was unify and do for self or suffer the consequences. And so as the consequences of our inaction continue to weigh heavily and more heavily and more heavily upon us, then the whipping, if you will, of the winds of our resistance, our disobedience to that which God has put forth for us to do will begin to whip us and make us do what's necessary. But we could avoid that whipping possibly if we were to wake up and do. The question is, why is it that many of us, even of those of us who say or feel as though we are of the conscious sort, whether we be in the Nation of Islam, the Hebrew Israelite, we read a lot of books. Whatever the case is, why we feel that we're conscious, why is it that we act as though everything is okay in the status that we live and exist in here in America and throughout the world? And this is what I mean by that. We go to a store and we buy in the store like everybody else does. We may go and find a home in a particular neighborhood, and we do it like everybody else does. We may go to college and we get an education and we come out and we do what everybody else in America, especially Caucasian people in America, do, which is they go and look for a job in corporate America. Why do we do these things when we know they're not making us successful and we know they're not getting us to the point that we need to get to, and we look at the real reality and the relevance of our conditioning continuing to worsen? One brother made a comment about the economic unemployment rate of black men, which I believe he said was somewhere around 14%. There's certainly some numbers that say it's much higher than that at 17.5%, but then there's others who say that really the number is double whatever they say it is, at least, at minimum, double that. Well, we've at Freedom Paper Company have talked to a lot of people, and we've introduced them to the concept and the idea of the economic freedom movement. And we've talked about the do-for-self aspects of the program that we had. And we've talked about that, which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan mentions, that has been stated here in terms of the relevance of us investing in
companies that we are consumers of, which makes absolute good sense. So when we look at our condition and you ask some people to, you know, invest, and somebody will tell you, I don't have any money to invest, or somebody will tell you that even three or four or five individuals trying to come together can't raise a small amount of money together, that tells us the state of our condition. That tells us how bad it really is for us. And if it's bad for one or two or three or four of us, we have to understand that it's bad for all of us, because we're all in this together. We can't rise, any of us, singularly above the condition of our people. So if we understood this, then the only rational thing to do is we understand that we are at a point where our survival is being threatened, and we have to take every single measure to fight against the destruction of our survival. I remember talking with a brother real quickly, and he said, brother, I want to support black business, but you know how it is. You know, we get lazy, brother. You know, we get a little trifling. We wait till the last minute. We know that, you know, I could get some bathroom tissue from you all, and, you know, but we wait till the last minute. We just run on down to Walmart. See, we have to stop that kind of mentality. We have to stop ourselves from having those kind of excuses that are worthless. Because every time we take a dollar and spend it with somebody other than self, we are fortifying somebody else's condition and bettering their circumstances and destroying our own. Every time we take a dollar and we run to somebody else because, you know, some small mistake got made by a black business, we didn't like it, but we didn't tell the business person how they could improve. We just started talking bad about them and decided to go back to Walgreens and spend our money there, where they treated us badly every day, or we don't get good service all the time, or they don't do anything for our community. But we keep spending our money there and finding excuses not to do it. We have to change our mindset. And we need to do a whole show, Brother Vernon, on mindset. The mindset of economics has to change. The mindset of our people has to change when it comes to economics. We have to understand how everything economically plays into every single other aspect of life. It plays into our health. It plays into our education. It plays into how our children will live and how their children will live in the next coming generations. Everything that we look at in life plays and economics has a part of.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, my brother, it's been wonderful. We are at the end of our broadcast. It's amazing that we've been on the air for a little bit more than an hour and a half. That's how it is.
Brother Vernon?
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Vernon, did you check your timer?
Yes, I did. I see that, you know, we just so desired we can linger on and, you know, hang out.
Oh,
for
okay. I just want to make sure.
I appreciate it. Well, yeah, I tell you, you know, it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl. Thank you so much for forgiving.
Well, I just wanted to see if you check your timer, because I think it was set up for 2 hours, but I just wanted to make sure. But you own it, brother. You got it.
Thank you so much. It was set up for 2 hours, and I want to respect everybody's time. This is an ongoing conversation that we're going to have. We're going to be here every week, inshallah, on Sunday evenings, you know, after you, you end your week on a good note and get ready to start on a good note. Make sure that you keep No Romance Without Finance in the forefront of your mind, because we will be back next week, and we will make sure that we keep us going on to the next step in our progression on the road to October 14th. And as we work to establish and make as a reality cooperative economics and the economic blueprint, what I want to do is, and I'll end my part of this, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Kamos and you, and y'all can do what you do. But I want to make sure that I give a specific call to action to everybody who's listening now. I asked you earlier in the broadcast to go to freedompapercompany.com. When you do that, go to our contact page, contact us, fill out your name, your information, drop us a line so that we can make sure we get in contact with you. And this networking that we're doing, whatever ideas that you have, whatever it is you want to share, or however it is you want to participate in the freedom economic movement, drop us your information so we can let you know exactly what that is, and then we can start seeing how we can marry up and link up. Whatever your community is, you've heard many of us talk about the Nation of Islam, but I reached out to the 5% Nation. I reached out to my Christian brothers and sisters. We talked about the Hebrew Israelite community. We don't have time for labels and lines of division anymore. We as a people are faced with a very dire situation for the survival of all of us. So let's all drop the reasons to be divided and begin working together. If in your mosque, your temple, your gathering, your parliament, your group, Freedom Paper Products, Freedom Paper Company, Freedom Bathroom Tissue has not been introduced yet, please get in touch with us so that we can bring the Freedom Economic Movement to your city. Okay? Business is warfare. This is real deal stuff. We want to establish an economic base that all of us can benefit from, and from that point, we can begin to move and actually put muscle behind the good causes that we all are in favor of. So go to freedompapercompany.com, hit the contact us page, drop us a line with all your information. We'll make sure that we're in touch. We'll get some good activity going. Anything you want to leave us with, Brother Kamos?
Yes, sir. I would be remiss, brother, on this grand upcoming anniversary of the Million Man's March and, of course, all of the progression that has come after that. I would be greatly remiss if we did not mention that which birthed Freedom Paper Company, which was, of course, the Committee for the Development of the National Ministry of Trade and Commerce. And, of course, the Committee for the Development of the National Ministry of Trade and Commerce came up and out of that which the minister gave us, which our brother Dr. Ali Muhammad helped to put together, which was the nine ministries and the movement of those ministries. And so firstly, I want to thank all the brothers and sisters who played an intricate part and role in the Committee for the Development of the National Ministry of Trade and Commerce and all of its work. And I want everyone to know that that group of brothers and sisters is still working. That ideal, those ideals from the Million Man's Movement, the Million Man's March, the nine ministries, that work is still ongoing. And as a matter of fact, there were a number of things mentioned, but one of the things that the Committee for the Development of the National Ministry of Trade and Commerce was able to do, at least get started in doing, was to begin to gather the data about the business people in our nation. And that work is ongoing. And so as we continue to do this broadcast, and we need to link up more and more and more. There are great Muslim brothers and sisters all over the place, great Hebrew Israelite, great Christian brothers and sisters, Brother Vernon. As you said, our people are great people, and we're doing great things, and we have to link up. But we have to have organized, systematic ways to do it. And so the nine ministries and what they represent, and in this case, the Committee for the Development of the National Ministry of Trade and Commerce, is one of the vehicles that we can work through structurally to build organization. So if you are interested in finding out more about that, please feel free to give us a call. You can call us at Freedom Paper Company, 888-746-6566. You can check out the website at www.nationaltradeandcommerce.org. You can contact us that way as well. But we have to unify more and more the progressive effort toward what we're doing. We have to do that. We have the vehicles. We've been blessed with that. Now, Brother Vernon, Freedom Paper Company is blessed. We're not just paper products anymore, family, but we're now moving into all of the essential products that we need. And so you can get your trash can liners from us. You can get your soap products from us. You can even get bleach from us. You can get wax and strippers from us. You can get all kinds of things from Freedom Paper Company. And we're building now our catalog, so you can go online at www.freedompapercompany.com. You'll be able to see the growing list of products we have. There are no more excuses today. Not only are we a black company, which is good, but we're also bringing economy, because our products are priced right. We can't say we can beat everybody and everything in every category because nobody can say that. But we can say that our products are quite often better than what you're currently buying on the market, and the value is there. We can also say that the quality that we bring to the table is extremely good. We can go pound to pound with almost anything in the marketplace. So we're not asking you just to buy just because we're black, which should be enough, but we're telling you you should buy because of the economy of the product, because of the quality of the product, and because Freedom Paper Company is a company that is doing great things in our community. We're going to be talking about in the next few months some of the pilot programs we're running with community organizations and how those pilots, we're going to show 100% how economics and the community activism go hand in hand. We're going to show and prove how economics can work and why it's so essential for us to do business and grow businesses, not just the small businesses, but institutions today. They are the backbone and fortification of everything we do. So, again, brother, as you said, www.freedompapercompany.com. Don't just check the website, but go online and order something today. Everybody, I've had not one person yet say they don't use bathroom tissue or they don't use paper towels. So there's no more excuses. Everybody should be getting the products. Everybody should be ordering from us. We must begin to do for self and unite everything together that we're working upon economically and build our infrastructure up.
All right, my brother. With that being said, thank you for joining me. Sister Gidget, thank you so much for sitting in with us, sister.
Oh, it is my pleasure, and I just want to say I'm very proud of how this all turned out, and I want to welcome you and, excuse me, our beloved brother Kamos to the Nation Building family and to the Blog Talk programs, and I'm looking forward to a bright and informative future with you all. So I thank you for joining us, joining on to the Nation Building family, helping us grow in all areas that is needed in our nation. So thank you all.
All right. With that being said, peace and blessings to you all. Take care of one another. Treat yourself right. And God willing, we will see you next week. Peace.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.